You ready to get up and about for the weekend?
I know there's gonna be good times.
When the alarm goes off, weekend breakfast goes on.
There's gonna be good times.
This is Dylan, Jules and Angus.
I know there's gonna be good.
Well, Dylan Allcott isn't here once again. He is getting ready for the Australian Open. Even on anymore, who knows, with lockdowns in Melbourne. But he will be doing his first match tomorrow. So hopefully we'll see him in a couple of weeks. Yeah, tomorrow's his first match.
Okay, can you send me a reminder so I can make sure that I watch?
Done. I'll just tell you tomorrow morning when we're on the show. Hopefully you can just stick around and watch the television in 4 hours' time.
Yeah, okay.
Well, hello, Jules.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm tired.
Okay, I was going to say massive congratulations. Last weekend, you became a dad for the first time.
I did. I play this sound effect as a joke, but that is now my reality. Yes.
I bet. How was your sleep last night?
Yeah, we didn't sleep very well last night. Little Indy didn't have the world's best sleep, and so my poor partner Emily is at home still awake with her finger in her mouth trying to get her back to sleep. But yes, I'm a dad.
Poor Em.
A little bit's changed since the last show.
Yes.
A big thank you to Tom and Ollie for filling in last week, last minute. Emily went into labour late Friday, so they got a very late call up, and she was born.
They sure did, yeah.
She's a week old. A week old and 5 days. She was born at 2:15 a.m. Last Saturday morning.
How much does she weigh?
Do you know
all the deets?
3.06 kilos, which I think is 6.7 pounds.
Nice.
Yeah, so I know the deets. I'm all
good
across
on
it.
You.
I'm a good dad.
What a dad you are.
I am, yeah. But the show must go on, hence why I'm back in the studio, even in a Victorian lockdown again.
I know, right? But, I've been in a couple of lockdowns, just, you know, being in different states around Australia over the past, you know, I guess 18 months. But there's one thing that I find might help people that are listening in Melbourne.
Okay.
And that comes to, obviously, the toilet paper issue and what you do when you run out.
TP's been selling off the shelves again in a rush.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, Jules has got you covered, Victoria. Up next on Weekend Breakfast.
This is Weekend Breakfast with Dylan, Jules and Angus.
Now, 131060, want to know, what have you had to use instead of toilet paper? Obviously, yesterday it was announced that the state of Victoria has gone into lockdown and obviously toilet paper is flying off the shelves. I just feel like this happens, you know, a lot. It's happened a lot over the past 18 months and people may have found themselves caught out with, you know, running out of toilet paper.
It's ridiculous. I mean, I have been stuck with our toilet paper for sure, but just to the people of Victoria, my people, stop. We made jokes about each other after the first lockdown pandemic and, you know, the memes were made about toilet paper.
Mm-hmm.
We laughed at ourselves in reflection going, I can't believe we did that.
Yeah.
And then in our third lockdown, we're back to our old tricks again. What are we doing?
I found myself in this predicament, 2 weeks ago? When did I move into my new apartment?
Yeah,
about 2 weeks ago.
Three weeks.
And I moved in and I hadn't gone to the shops yet. And I was, you know, stuck there on the toilet with no toilet paper whatsoever.
Okay, I didn't put that one on your list, did you?
No.
Living by yourself at that point as well.
I was, so it was okay. But
you can't yell out to anybody to go grab you any.
No, I didn't, but I used a sock.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Better than using Airtasker.
No, but after that, I was like, why didn't I just jump in the shower?
Oh, yeah, that's much easier.
My shower's right there, right next to me.
The sock, did it go in the wash or the bin?
The bin.
Okay.
Yeah, went straight in the bin. But here's the thing, though. Yeah. I was like, you know, give some, you know, what have you had to use in the past so that anyone, especially the, you know, people of Victoria, you know, are stuck in this predicament.
Tips. Because, there's none at the shelves. I mean, it's back on the black market as well, toilet paper, TP. So you might have to get yourself in these situations. There was one for me where I lived in Sydney for a bunch of years, 4 years, and lived in, like, the inner west.
Yeah.
And so I lived in Petersham and I used to jog to Marrickville Oval. And this is back when I was fit. And when I got there, it's about 3-4 kilometres there. And then so I was about halfway. So I'd committed to the run, no way of getting back. And just it hit me. And sometimes on a run, it just hits you. Luckily, I could get to a bathroom, but I rushed into the bathroom.
Yep, you didn't check, did you?
No. Did my business and then realised no toilet paper.
Yeah.
Now, because I needed my socks and shoes to get home, I didn't want to risk blisters. It was a hot day. The key is hot day. So I took off my little Adidas singlet, used my singlet, threw it in the public bin, jogged home shirtless.
Shirtless?
Had a couple of people out the window, flog! But
what about any wolf whistles or anything, Jeff? Were you rocking a six-pack or anything?
Nah, there was nothing back then. I think I was attempting to try and get back to my former 20 self, but it was in vain. So 13, 10, 60. Lockdown has started for Victoria. Already photo circulating. Cliche of the TP aisle.
Yeah.
I mean, even paper towel. So those people using Viva, I feel sorry for you.
I think the Viva's good.
It doesn't flush very well.
No, and I know plumbers out there, I know you're like saying do not flush that down the toilet or whatever.
They're saying flush it. We come out. There's a $90 call-out fee. Please, flush it.
And toilet paper needs to come with little ridges, I reckon.
Okay.
I reckon it does a better job.
What's in your diet? 13, 10, 60. What have you been using instead of TP?
This is Weekend Breakfast with Dylan, Jules and Angus.
We want to know, what have you had to use instead of toilet paper? Now, obviously, Victoria's gone back into lockdown for the next 5 days. And I just thought, let's help people out. And, you know, where have you ever been, like, stuck in that predicament where you've gone to the toilet, you realise you are out of toilet paper or there is no toilet paper in sight? What have you had to use?
Mark and Wagga. What was it?
Had to use me hanky. It was a clean hanky to start with.
Okay.
But it was easier than getting me work boots off to use me sock.
Okay, that's very true. The sock is a common one. I really am interested in the idea of a hanky. It kind of left with my grandpa, I thought.
Yeah, I was going to say, who carries a hanky around these days? Well, I mean,
it's quite chivalrous. That's the whole point of a hanky, is to, you know, dab the eyes of a female or to pass one over for you to use.
Oh,
the ladies,
it was just to blow you in a snot.
The lady used to drop the kerchief, and that was a way for a guy to pick it up, and that was how they met their suitor. The hanky is a beautiful old tradition until Mark wipes his backside with it. Thanks, Mark.
Hey, I might try that, by the way. See if it works.
Well, it's really interesting because the psychology around dropping a kerchief is interesting because the lady drops it, but the guy thinks he's the one initiating the interaction with the lady, right?
So
he's I'm going to bring this to the lady, but really she's the one who dropped it for him.
I'm going to blow my boogies in it
You probably won't get the guy you're looking for. Jeff in Orange, if toilet paper, the pandemic purchase is back, what are you using if you run out of it?
I use me jocks.
Okay.
Oh, take undies off. Oh.
Yep.
How short are your shorts? I mean, are you wearing shorts or pants?
Nah, I'm wearing pants.
Okay.
I work on the railway and I went to do a number two and went out in the bush and realised there was no toilet paper.
Yeah.
So the next best thing was me jocks.
The jocks.
Oh, mate, why don't you just use some leaves or something or some bark off a tree?
Ah, poison ivy, too risky. And rough. Does it come down to the brand of the underwear? Because I've got different levels of underwear in my drawer. So I've got my gym ones, which are like your Bonds or whatever.
Yep.
I've got my free ones from Mum at Christmas, which are my Rios. And I've got my going out jocks, my Calvin Kleins.
Your Calvin Kleins.
Now, the Rio and Bonds, if I'm on the railway, I'm giving them a wide berth, but I don't think I could throw them away if I was Jeff. Jeff, are you still wiping with Calvins?
No. I'll just wipe whatever I've got on.
Okay. He's not an idiot.
This is Weekend Breakfast with Dylan, Jules and Angus. This is Weekend Breakfast with Dylan, Jules and Angus.
Do you know what an obstetrician is, Jules?
Okay, look, I feel like I think I know, but I've got a feeling it's wrong.
Hit me.
But is it someone that obviously is the doctor that is through the whole stage of your pregnancy?
Yeah.
And so they make sure that the baby is growing right.
Yeah, pretty much. And then they're there on the day of delivery.
Oh, so they're the person who delivers as well?
That's right.
Right, yeah.
So you build a connection with this doctor over however many months that you know. And for a lot of people, I mean, an obstetrician, it's an elected person. So if you're in public, public hospital, you just get the doctor who's on shift that day.
Right, so if you don't have private health insurance, you would get a normal
It's still quite a fee that goes with having an obstetrician, yeah.
Is Is there?
Yeah.
Like how much?
A bit. Depends on your obstetrician.
And okay, what's a bit? Because, are we talking
a few thousands? It could be. It can be from like, it can be from like, I don't know how much they cost, but at least $3,000 to $10,000.
Whoa.
Yeah. I mean, there's leading obstetricians. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's insane. What if you don't have that kind of money?
You've got the amazing Australian public hospital system.
Yep, okay.
But once again, like, it was our first child. Emily wanted to have an obstetrician, so I was like, of course we're going to, because, well, not of course. A lot of people elect not to because of the cost and because we've got such amazing medical here in Australia, so there isn't really a need. But for Emily, it was about building up trust and comfortability with the person. Exactly. And knowing that when it came to the day, which turned out being last Saturday for us at 2:15 a.m., that the person that who has been there the whole time has watched our baby grow, we've had meetings with, that person is there. So kind of completes the full journey.
Yeah.
Until they weren't.
What do you mean?
We had the best obstetrician. His name's Mark, and we fell in love with him the second that we met him. We're like, okay, you're our guy. He looks like Harold Bishop from Neighbours.
Wait, is it like an interview process? Like, do you go to a couple and, and then pick?
It's all about feeling comfortable with that person, of course, but we just got lucky first time. I'm sure there are people who meet an obstetrician like, it's probably not for us. But we had the guy. He had the doctorates behind him. He had the masters. He had photos of his beautiful big family.
Oh, he had that jolly
atmosphere.
He looked like Harold
from Neighbours.
Yeah.
He's delivered like 10,000 babies.
Yes. I was like, what is his baby number?
He's the guy. And Emily, and most importantly, Emily's like, I love him. And I'm like, there you go.
Yes. Okay.
And so for the last, because we knew very early on that we were pregnant. I said we, but, you know, we're having a baby.
No, yeah.
And so we met him quite early on, and we've been with him for pretty much 7 months.
Yeah.
And then last Saturday. We didn't know this, but he wasn't on duty at, I mean, it was a very inappropriate time, oh, not inappropriate, inconvenient time to have a baby, 2:15 a.m.
Do babies ever come at a normal time? I feel like it's always like that.
There are some babies that just rock up at like a nice 2 p.m. on a Wednesday.
Why not?
Not my indie. So we found out as we're in the moment, so we're already, you know, we're having contractions every 5 minutes for an hour, we're at the hospital, and then we find out Mark's not here.
Right.
And so Emily's like, okay, well, this is my guy. We've been with him for 7 months. What happens? We go, there's another doctor who's going to be delivering your baby. His name's Jonathan. And I'm talking to Emily. I'm like, you know, this is like the guy. There's a team of four doctors. They're all the same. They've got the same learnings. This guy's a professional. This is going to be amazing. Until he walked in.
And? Oh.
He was the hottest doctor.
Oh.
Unbelievably good looking. Yeah. I'm talking McDreamy has nothing on this doctor. This handsome 30-something walks in.
Oh, my gosh.
As like, hi, guys, I'm Jonathan. I'm going to be delivering your baby. And I'm like, you will not be coming next.
This is Weekend Breakfast with Dylan, Jules and Angus.
Oh, Valentine's Day tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to know out there, like, what if someone said that has ruined the date? Now, as you know, my dating life is pretty tragic.
Well, according to your mama Jules.
Actually, you weren't here last week, so you don't know that I went on a date.
Mm.
Did I tell you?
No.
I went on a date, and on the way in the Uber to this date, with my date in the Uber with me, I was on my phone doing something for the show, right? I was posting something.
That is absolute BS.
But he said to me, he was like really annoyed with me on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't happy about it.
A terrible first impression. I'm on his side.
No, I know. But he, he was like, you know, this is a joke. Like, you know, you're on your phone and blah, blah, blah. I started crying.
Well, I mean, I'm still on his side. I don't like it when emotion gets involved when you're wrong. You shouldn't have cried. You should have held yourself and said, you're right. Actually, all I'm doing is replying to a Q&A on my Instagram story.
With people asking
if I'm ever returning to Dubbo or how my ex-boyfriend Mercedes guy in Perth is going. You're actually probably talking about your ex on your Instagram story while you've got a potential date in the back of an Uber Black.
I wasn't. But, you know, I just, I've got to tell you about this other date that I went on that was really awkward as well.
Someone's enjoying life in Sydney?
No. This is a date from like maybe a couple of years ago.
Okay.
All right. I was on a date with this guy and we were sitting at the table and he was telling me like stories, right? And he was jumping from story to story.
Mm-hmm.
And he apologized for it.
As a professional storyteller, you could just go, look, this isn't a linear conversation. If you're on air, that was your out, I'd be playing a song by the Kid Laroi by now. I'm done.
But the worst thing I could have said to him, because the thing is, like, he was older as well, too. He was probably about 15 years older than me.
Okay.
I said to him, oh, no, it's fine. You actually remind me of my dad.
Yeah, don't say that. Unless he's got, you know, but a little complex for that. He's like, do I remind you of your dad, D?
No, I know. Well, no, he took it as more like, I don't want to be your dad kind of thing. I'm like, but I didn't say it like I wanted him to be my dad or my daddy or anything like that.
I'm just here to buy you Louis Vuitton bags and occasionally, you know, have a snuggle.
Hey, I buy myself my Louis Vuitton bags, okay? But yeah, it did ruin the date. So, yeah, just don't ever refer to anyone that you are on a date with to anyone, any relative, any family member at all.
No paternal figures.
It's pretty weird.
Yeah.
It is pretty weird, but it killed it.
So 131060, what did they say that ruined the date? Or you can dob yourself in. We're kind of thinking like if you're at a restaurant and someone says to you, my ex works here.
Yes.
That wouldn't be good. So hang on. So you dragged me to a restaurant so you could show off in front of your ex? Is that why
we're here? Yeah, no. Or even saying something like, you know, you remind me of my ex.
Perfect.
This is Weekend Breakfast with Dylan, Jules and Angus.
As we ask 131060, what did they say that ruined the date?
Yes. Now, I was on a date a couple of years ago with an older guy. And he was about 15 years older than me at the time. And we...
So you're 40, so he was 55. Oh, and that was 10 years ago.
40.
No, I'm just making a joke.
Tell me how old I look, Angus.
24.
Yes. I like to think that anyway. Anyways, we're on this date and he was jumping and changing like stories and as he was talking to me and then he apologized. He's like, I'm so sorry. I'm like jumping stories. I was like, no, it's all good. You actually remind me of my dad.
Yeah.
Not like a daddy situation. Like it's just that my dad used to do that as well too. And it kind of killed it.
Yeah.
I mean, that was our last date. Yeah, that. Thank you for that. That's exactly how it went.
I was on a date once and the girl told me that she killed animals as a child. And I was like, don't know.
Don't they grow up to be like serial killers?
Yeah, and I was just making a joke. Yes, that's exactly what they end up being. Wearing Skinner's masks. 131060, what don't you say or shouldn't you say on a date? Or something that's ruined it for you, Peter in Wangaratta.
How are you, mate?
Good, mate.
My sister set me up with her best friend.
Yeah. Okay.
She'd been single for a while, so yeah, not a problem. So mm-hmm. we went out to a restaurant, sat down, got halfway through the meal. I was having a scotch, she was having a wine, and her ex-boyfriend turned up to the table and turned around and goes, don't take her home, she's nothing but a dud.
Gosh, Peter. Wait, was he in the same restaurant by chance or did he like was he following her and wanted to ruin her chances?
Because she had nothing but problems with him for a while.
Mm. Right.
Mm.
What did you do and say?
I just said, Renzo, it's got nothing to do with you, you're no longer together, piss off.
Yeah, that's right.
You should have said to him, it's you, mate. It ain't her.
And then obviously, you know, she wanted to prove him wrong. But, well, he's lying. Let's go home right now, Peter.
This is Weekend Breakfast with Dylan, Jules and Angus. This is Weekend Breakfast with Dylan, Jules and Angus.
They're in it, all they're in it, all they're in it, all they're in it, all.
Are they?
Oh, okay, am I the a-hole? Now, this is a thread on Reddit where people have been called an a-hole in real life, and they put this situation on Reddit and let the internet decide. And what we do, Gussie, is we bring it to the people that are listening.
That's right.
And we let these guys decide.
131060, get ready with your opinions. This
All
one
right,
is
what situation do we have?
Well, the headline reads, am I the a-hole for testing workers before giving them a job? The test could land them in jail.
All right.
Here's the story. My husband and I recently moved from New South Wales to Brisbane, where I've been promoted to a new position with a generous increase in salary. We decided now's the time to concentrate on us more and have a weekly cleaner for the car and house, and also appoint a babysitter, we have a six-year-old, for regular work while we attend events, date nights, work functions, etc. These three roles take care of our most precious items, our luxury vehicles, our prized personal possessions, jewellery, family heirlooms, passports, etc., and our most prized possession, our beautiful son. I decided to test all three potential suitors for the roles by leaving money behind in a spot in the house or car where it looks forgotten but is obviously ours. I left $20 under the seat of the car, $50 under the bed for the cleaner, $20 under a pillow on the couch for the babysitter. I decided I want to see the values of these people before we hiring them, as I intend to hold their business for the foreseeable future. If they passed, I'd feel comfortable leaving them with our most valuable things, knowing their level of professionalism. One of them failed the test and not only stole the money, but something else from us, which I can't prove. I called the police on them and I'm awaiting results of the investigation. Am I the a-hole for testing workers before giving them a job?
Okay, firstly, I would do this.
Oh.
If I had a family, I would actually, I would do that because, I mean, you just don't know, do you?
Oh, well, like, read a Yelp review, you know? See how many five-star reviews are going. I always look, if I'm on Uber Eats and I see something with like 4.5 stars and it's had over 100 reviews, I'll give it a shot.
4.5? Man, I don't eat anything under 4.7.
Okay, well, so you're on a better salary. is this you, actually? Look at you.
I just hate, there is nothing worse than spending money on crap food.
Like, that's not the story, though.
No. Let's go back to this one. I don't think they're the a-hole at all. I would absolutely do this. And you know what? She's obviously busted that person from what they've done.
Mm.
Or they've obviously stolen something a little bit more serious than $20 under the pillow, under the cushion. Right? Yeah.
Well, you don't know. Hang on a second. You're insinuating it's the babysitter. Could have been the cleaner. Could have been the car. Here's the thing.
I know.
I think you've got to go off reviews, what friends say, and also the price. I know this sounds stupid, but it feels like the more you pay for a cleaner, for a car detail, whatever, you're going to get a better job. So maybe she should stop looking on Airtasker for a $30 car wash.
How do you know where she got these people from?
Because I like to make up my own stories.
Okay.
And maybe she's getting ex-criminals. I don't know.
Could be.
Here's the thing. I think you've got to go off, ask people around, ask neighbours, get some good reviews. I don't think you can be doing entrapment for trying to get people to, in the hope that they steal. Like, it's kind of like you want to find out they're wrong.
No, because, I mean, it's your house, your car, you know. There's always going to be, money laying around. Like, you're a new dad now.
Yeah.
Would you do this? Say, for instance, little Indy, when she gets older and Em goes back to work, if she's going to go back to work, or you do, your thing, would you test someone like this if you had a babysitter or like a nanny or an au pair? Would you do test
old school.
Like that?
Just find the teenage kid on the street and give him $20. That's what I did for my neighbours in Janjuk, Victoria.
If they paid me $20, I'd be definitely stealing that $20 under the cushion.
131060. Let's ask you guys listening. Are they the a-hole for testing workers before giving them a job? Even if that test could land them in jail.
This is Weekend Breakfast with Dylan, Jules and Angus.
They're an a-hole, they're an a-hole, they're an a-hole, they're an a-hole.
Or are they?
Yes, are they the a-hole? This is a thread on Reddit where people have been called an a-hole in real life. And what they do is they put their real that situation and then they get people on the internet to decide whether they are or not. Now, Gussie, you've got a situation.
I don't believe
where
the internet.
We decide.
Sorry. I don't believe in the keyboard warriors of the internet. They don't get to decide these situations. The people on our phones do on 131060. So this story, Jules, it comes from a lady who, with her husband, have moved from New South Wales to Brisbane recently. She got a big increase in her salary. They've got a quite nice lifestyle, luxurious cars, prized possession of jewellery and family heirlooms, and a son.
Dreams, yeah.
So what they're doing is trying to find the best cleaners, car cleaner and babysitter. But what they're doing is testing them by leaving money behind. If they take the money, they're not going to get the job.
But see, I'd totally do this.
Okay.
I would do this. So I don't really see her or them being the a-hole at all.
Just entrapment. Just go off a review. Ask a neighbour, look around, pay a little bit more, get the best. We're asking Jeff, is she an a-hole for potentially putting these workers in handcuffs for doing something illegal just by testing them for a job?
Definitely not.
Okay. Have you done this
short
before,
and sweet.
Jeff?
I think,
No, I haven't done it. I thought it was such a great idea, but I think that, you know, I've had cleaners, I've had people that have been in my place and doing work, and I know that they've pinched coins and bits and pieces, and I don't really want to put the down on, because I've had really good people too, that have found money and things like that and have gone, left it on the kitchen table, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, I just think it's a really good idea because, you know, God forbid, if they're going to take money like that or bits and pieces like that, God forbid what else they might take.
True.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly.
Here's the thing, though. I think if you find shrapnel under a car seat, it's just yours. If it's going to get sucked up, it's going to get sucked up by the vacuum if they don't find it.
You sound like Mama Jules. Seriously, she'll wash my clothes and whatever is in my pockets, she will take. It could be a $100 note. It could be a pineapple. She
will take
it.
Someone's doing all right. Daniel, what do you think? Is she an a-hole for testing her workers before giving them a job?
No, I don't believe she is an a-hole because you're trusting someone with your private space, and like most people, we have a lot of things in our house. We may not necessarily look at those things, like really look. So if you're leaving like money around that's obvious to you and they're honest enough to say, oh, look, I was cleaning your car and I found this under the seat, and they give it to you, they're a trustworthy person because you might have little knickknacks that you don't look at very often. You might not think of using them for 5 or 6 months, and when you go to use them, they're suddenly gone, and it's like, well, when did that disappear? You know?
So yeah, true.
You really need to find honest people, and someone, you know, I don't believe that finding loose change under the seat is, it's yours. If it goes up the vacuum cleaner, leave it in the vacuum cleaner, because it's their car, it's still their property.
Okay, good point. Well, big thank you to Daniel. Oh, look, I think if you're a crook, if you're a criminal, there's a great idea for you right here that we've learned. I'd look in the higher-end, medium-priced suburbs in Brisbane, something like an Ascot or a Bulimba, and I'd start putting up cleaning advertisements. What I'd do, I'd find the $20 under the car, I'd give it back to them, and then I'd rob them blind over the next 6 months.
This is Weekend Breakfast with Dylan, Jules and Angus.
Jules, you were just telling me before that song that you've booked a restaurant tonight, the night before Valentine's Day, for two. Single lady, that's very exciting for you.
Mm-hmm.
Rockpool, kind of a very famous, iconic Sydney restaurant, Neil Perry, where a salad sets you back $26 just for some lettuce, avocado, cherry tomato and a jalapeno chili.
Not me, my date.
My apologies. Because I was like, if I was going to order the steak from Rockpool, what is that? $90.
It's about 90,
350 grams.
Yeah. And you know what's even worse about that situation with
what's
the
that?
Steak? I have my steak very, very well done.
That's disgraceful. That for me is so far faux pas that I would not go on a second date with you. And I'd ask to split the bill.
Would you?
100%. You can't be with someone. I mean, Emily, my partner's been having, well-done steaks for the past 9 months, but she was pregnant. She had an excuse. Yeah. What have you got?
I just like it burnt.
Oh.
And I grew up on
roadkill. You ordered a 350-gram Wagyu sirloin and asked for a well-done?
Man, no, but you don't know. It's like when I was growing up as a kid, like my dad was a roo shooter and a pig shooter, right? And, and we used to eat roadkill.
Right.
So everything had to die.
The girl
right?
from the bush, and she's back in town. Geez, you're really 360 that combo.
Oh no! Look, now I'm trying to get a date at Rockpool. Went from roadkill to Rockpool. Now, if you missed it last week, right, I actually booked two restaurants last week.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, Valentine's Day being on the Sunday, being tomorrow, I made a booking at Rockpool for tonight.
Okay.
And I made a booking at a tapas joint for tomorrow afternoon.
Someone's busy.
In the hope that I would get some dates. I mean, it could be the same guy from, went to Rockpool and then we had a date on the Sunday, depending how great it went.
Maybe maybe you should have ordered a little cafe spot for Sunday morning instead of... What do you eat for breakfast
Gussie,
as you roll
like
over
that.
And pull the doona over? Eggs Benedict Dahl?
No. Going there. Anyway.
How do you like your bacon? Charred black!
I do like my bacon burnt too.
Crispy. Burn it.
Yeah. Love it. God. Now, as you know, my last day ended in tears.
That wasn't good.
So it didn't end well. And that guy I matched with on Bumble, and I've kind of gone off Bumble a little bit. It kind of deterred me.
Okay.
And
so how are we finding potentially two suitors?
Well,
especially
I was
such
like,
late notice.
Maybe, you know, well, I've been like going out. So I'll go and there's a bar just down the road from my place. And I've been going there and sitting there and hoping that, you know, maybe something will happen.
Twirling your hair while sipping on an Aperol.
Nothing has happened yet at the bar. But the other day, when was it? It would have been Thursday. Yeah. I was on the train and this guy jumped on that I'd seen on the train maybe the week prior. It was only a couple of days prior. And the reason why he caught my attention was because he was dressed really well and he kind of dressed like my ex.
Okay.
So he caught my attention and he
saw
me
looking at him. Now, when you say dressed well, are you saying he's wearing like some nice streetwear, like he's got some Yeezys and some Subi on?
Or
is he like, we've got a nice suit on?
Had a nice, like, tailored, like, pants, nice white, button-up shirt.
Not from Tarakash.
No tie. No, it wasn't Tarakash. Not even Connor.
Politics.
Seriously. Yep. he had like a Louis Vuitton briefcase.
Oh,
like
okay. He's sticking some boxes for Mum and Jules.
Well,
your mum wants a rich husband.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's Mum, though. Anyway, so I looked at him and he caught me looking at him and we both smiled at one another. This was like a couple of days ago, right? Yep. And then on Thursday, saw him again and he saw me when he walked on. We locked eyes straight away and he came and stood like very close to like in where I was sitting.
Nice.
And then he asked for my number. Now, I was like so nervous, you know, that this was happening, but
you've been preparing for this at those bars, sitting there like lonely, stinking of desperation.
No,
you should be prepared with your one-liners.
I wasn't at all. But I tell you, I was not prepared to give him my number, though. Right? He asked for my number, and I never give my number out purely because I just, you know, I get worried that then they've got my number and then they might hassle me or whatever. Yeah. So
I prefer them to have my number than any sort of other social details.
Oh, so well, I said
you gave
to
me your
him,
Instagram, didn't you?
I asked him if he had an Instagram. He said yes, and so I gave him my Instagram.
Now he knows your friends' names. Now he knows where you hang out.
Here's
you
the
had
thing.
On text message just the opportunity to
I
ghost.
Know.
Now the guy knows where you are. He can geolocate you.
Yeah, but
you post a story at Village Cinemas. Guess who's waiting out the front? With
guess
a bag of popcorn.
Who? Guess, well, I was thinking, right? Not at the time, but I always say, here's my Instagram handle so then I can block him, right?
Okay.
So I gave him my Instagram handle and I added him and followed him back.
Mm-hmm.
Within 2 hours of me being home, he added me on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
He had searched me up on LinkedIn and he started adding my friends on Facebook as well.
You guys
because
sound perfect
my
for
friends
each other.
Were messaging me going, who's this guy? Are you? The only mutual friend I have is you.
Perfect match.
And I was like, I met him on the train 2 hours ago.
You're both as desperate as each other. It's perfect. It's love. Rockpool,
no,
7:30.
No, it ain't happening.
This is Weekend Breakfast with Dylan, Jules and Angus.
Hey, how crazy can like is it that, you know, within a week, life can change so much. This time last week, you and your beautiful partner, Em, were welcoming Indy Rose into this world.
Yes.
Yeah,
how
and a half
has
it been? How's it been like the last week of just adjusting to dad life?
It's a crazy week of just gripping and ripping and hoping for the best.
And ripping what?
Or just life. You don't know.
Okay.
It's so unexpected, everything. Like it's people tell you what it is and they're right, but it's so much more. And different because obviously everyone's baby's different.
Yeah. I heard something the other day where someone said, it was something like, you don't adjust to your baby's life. Your baby needs to adjust to your life.
Good luck to that person. They don't have kids.
Oh, see, that's how I was hoping that it would actually be.
Here's some things that I've learned, Jules, in the past week. And 13:10:60, would love people to join in. Things you didn't know once you became a parent. So you
now,
just
I don't have any kids, so, you know, you're schooling me here.
Okay, so take me through, Jules, what you think the birthing suite would look like in those moments of pushing as you're about to welcome in your child. What do you think it looks like in that room?
Well, I'm hoping, you know, it's all, you know, fluffy clouds and rainbows and champagne popping, you know. As,
it's not that. but I thought it was going to be many people in scrubs, masks, you know, that fluorescent light. 6-7 doctors. It's really not that.
I what thought is that it?
It's a midwife with you for the whole time, just occasionally checking on what's going on down there, and then she calls the doctor when you're getting close to this, when you're getting really close, like really close to the moment. I thought there was going to be, it's just a dimly lit room. It's one person for a long time. It was very surprising.
Okay.
Another thing I've learnt this week, breastfeeding doesn't take 10 to 15 minutes. I mean that in the purpose of, so Em is mixing between breastfeeding and expressing. So therefore I get to feed her overnight so Em can get a better sleep sometimes.
Yeah.
So we're kind of mixing in that, which is great because that means I get to get some skin on skin time and love it.
I didn't know you could do that. But anyway, there you go.
So we're mixing between pumping and breastfeeding. And I thought 15 minutes for a bottle, I'm wrong. 45 minutes to an hour. And then you've got to put them back to sleep. And at 1:45 in the morning, you can be up till 3:20 a.m. trying to get that precious little angel back to bed.
Oh, does she keep on like trying to sleep when you're feeding her? So you got to keep like moving the
milk drunk face comes in. You got to got to kind of move the teat on the bottle up and down.
Get it to suck again. Yeah.
The other thing that I immediately connected with every other parent that exists. You just, there's an understanding when you see parents in the park with a pram or something that you're all going through something. And I had a chat with this lady who was walking at the dog park because I'm taking Winston for walks, our dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw her and she's like, how's the sleep? And I'm like, it's this. She goes, I was awake at the exact same time as you. And there's this immediate connection with new families and old families who have been there in the past.
Oh, that's
which is really lovely.
Yeah.
And the other one that I got was, the house will never be truly clean again. At best, if you're the most productive parents in the world, you'll probably sit at 90% clean. Man. And that's outrageously good.
She's only 1 week old. She's not even getting around and pulling things out, let alone you having the time to clean.
No. I've got Winston walking mud in, the golden retriever puppy. Dishes are in the sink. There's bottles that have got to be sanitized. She's just had a little throw up on her onesie.
Oh, man.
I've got two loads of washing going over here. I've got Em's washing, my washing. I've got rain coming in that I've got to bring the washing outside in.
You need a cleaner. You need an au pair or even an au pair to come in and help out a little bit maybe.
I got bills, Jules. The other thing you learned, you got no money.
Yeah.
13, 10, 60.
You're really ruining it for me, man. Like, no, it's amazing. I don't have any kids. Oh, God.
Things you didn't know as a parent until you became one. We'd love to finish the show with your calls next.
This is Weekend Breakfast with Dylan, Jules and Angus. This is Weekend Breakfast with Dylan, Jules and Angus.
What did you learn the moment you became a parent? Things you didn't know until the baby was born.
It's been now you've learned a lot.
Oh, my God, Jules. Learning as we go. I'm only a week in. There is so much to learn.
Man, imagine a month. Imagine a month's time.
It was just, 6 weeks apparently is the hardest, the first 6 weeks.
Okay.
Getting the routine and the cycles.
Five more to go.
Woo, baby. Let's go to Sarah in Port Macquarie. What did you learn the moment you became a parent?
Oh, well, my goodness. We're actually, my girlfriend and I, expecting a baby. He or she was due yesterday. And I think you've scared me off now. I'm happy for us to go that little bit over.
Baby, you scared me off too, don't you?
No, I didn't mean to scare you. I mean, everything that I've said comes with a whirl of wonderful. It's just, there's a lot of things you learn on the fly. Yeah. You can read as many books and you can have your pregnancy plan as well. Like I said, we had an obstetrician for 7 months. When it came to the delivery, he was off shift.
I have heard that they said that, you know, you can never be prepared. You can never be prepared for what's coming.
Sarah, congratulations and all the best with your arrival as well. Mary in Melbourne, what's the thing you didn't know until you became a parent?
Well, I didn't know after having my daughter that actually baby girls are born with their eggs that are to be with them for their life, like just their lifetime of eggs.
What? In their ovaries?
They don't have to wait till their puberty to produce eggs.
Wow.
That is amazing. Baby girls are born.
But luckily, my daughter will never be hooking up with anybody. She will not need those eggs. No man will ever touch my angel.
Oh, jeez. I can just see that scene out of Bad Boys. You know,
Reggie.
When Reggie turns up.
You a virgin? No. Ryan.
Yes.
What did you learn when you became a parent?
Mate, what I learned is that sleep deprivation compounds every single problem that you have.
Amen, brother.
So, like, honestly, raising a child, I don't think is actually that difficult if you were sleeping at night. But putting on your socks in the morning is a task when you're sleep deprived. And that's my advice would be, don't be frightened to reach out to friends and family.
Yeah, to
just steal a couple, steal a couple of hours for yourself. Don't waste them. Go home, recharge the batteries, and I tell you, everything gets easier when you are well slept.
Good on you, Ryan.
Sage advice. How many hours are we talking? Like a couple of hours? How long is a couple of hours?
Well, I don't know. Well, the problem with the sleep is that she has to be up every 3 to 4 hours to feed. And then it takes like an hour to put her down. So it's about 30, 40 minutes of feeding and then an hour to put her down. And then the cycle actually starts when she started feeding, not when she finished. Yeah. So it's not 3 hours from when she finished feeding, it's from when she started. So you actually get like an hour and a half, like 90 minutes at best of sleep, and it's all interrupted. It's a nightmare.
Jeez, Mark, I'm surprised you can even add up numbers here right now.
I don't know what's going on, to be perfectly honest. I'm surprised I kept this on the air. Adam and Dubbo, wrap this up for us. What's the thing you learned the moment you became a parent?
Babies are allergic to the smell of a clean shirt.
Ah. Good one. I like it. And shout out to the 2830.
Oh, Dubbo represent.
Yeah, my hometown.
Thanks, Adam. You're absolutely right. I've gone through a couple of shirts. Can I give some advice? This is advice that a midwife gave to me. Mm-hmm. And it was really great advice. Was for guys or girls like Sarah, wear a button-up shirt.
Why?
On the day, because then you'll get some skin to skin.
Oh, yes, yeah.
So that was a really great moment when I got some skin to skin, and the lady at the midwife was like, you've got a very convenient shirt on. I'm like, the other midwife gave me a heads up last week. thanks for listening, everybody. We will be back on the air tomorrow from 7 o'clock. Jules, till then.
Bye.
Weekend breakfast is done and dusted. You know you can catch the show anytime. Get the catch-up podcast whenever you want. Just search for Weekend Breakfast where you get your podcasts. Dylan, Jules and Angus are back to wake you up again tomorrow from 7.